Paul Guercio, our special guest from the Merlin Project, and we're going to talk about the presidential election and then some other fun things next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, one of our dear friends, Paul Guercio, nationally respected futurist, longtime student of traditional and esoteric predictive systems, together with George Hart, they run the Merlin Project, tracking trends for current events, prominent business people, politicians, celebrities, you name it, they have done it. And Paul, thanks for joining us tonight.
George, I'm looking forward to this.
Very timely to have you on. My God, things are happening.
I'm being told that there's a bunch of angry people on there who said, you said it was going to be Bernie.
Well, let's talk about the past. But first of all, give us a quick overview. Again, the millions of new people who pop in all the time. Tell us about the Merlin Project.
Well, the Merlin Project essentially is George Hart's answer to my theoretical practice that went on for about 25 years of using time cycles to predict events, figuring that there's a repetition to events. Events don't just happen coincidentally. They happen in a fairly orderly fashion, and they happen every so many years. There's a repetition. And I had been using a manual system that worked along those lines. And George heard me on a radio show up here in Boston in the late 80s, and called up to check it out, see what I was up to. And we got together, and over three or four, actually it was longer than that, it was probably more like half a dozen, fairly long conversations that were originally designed to be appointments. He was coming in to see me to see what I did in practice with this, but we got off on discussing how time works. And at the end of about maybe half a dozen sessions, he said to me, you know, he said, I have some SDI guys, some Star Wars people from Reagan's Star Wars project back in the 80s, with time on their hands and some supercomputers that are just sort of sitting around. They don't want to let these guys go because they had trouble finding them. But there's nothing really going on right now because we're changing presidents. That was in the time period when Reagan was leaving office and George H.W. Bush was taking over. And he said, you know, if you can give me the parameters of this, what it has to do, and some of the numbers, what the algorithms would have to be. He said, I think I can have these guys cook up a program which would actually give us a chance to find out if this time cycle system that you've been working with for 25 years actually works. And that's what happened. We sat down one night for about 4 or 5 hours. I laid out a flow sheet of what this would have to do and how it would have to work. And then he turned it over to a team of people, and they did the workups, the coding and everything, and about 3 or 4 months later, in the fall of 1989, they had a working program that we were able to try out. And we tried it out on the then Soviet Union because it seemed to be in chaos. And so what we did was we ran the time tracks on all these Soviet satellites, you know, the Ukraine and Estonia and Latvia and so on. And we discovered that they all looked like they were about to go into a large war or something, because it looked like that these time tracks were basically saying, look, this is about to all go belly up. And, you know, we sort of looked at each other and said, well, you know, that means communism is going out of business or World War III. And so we sat back in the fall of 1989, about a month before the Berlin Wall came down, in October of 89, the Berlin Wall started coming down in November, and then we watched over the next year, basically, and watched one Soviet satellite country after another fall. And we kind of looked at each other, and it was like, what is this? And George was a little upset because he said, you know, we get this thing developed after a year of talking about it, and the problem is we're the only people that are going to know that it actually happened on schedule And nobody else is ever going to know this actually happened. Well, that didn't turn out to be true because we got a lot of media attention at that point with this, and we were all over the map. We were on local shows. We became regulars on Larry King. We were everywhere, and lots of newspaper articles and magazine articles and whatnot. And we discovered that if you plug into this system the right numbers, so in the case of the Soviet satellite countries, we used all of their essentially 4th of July numbers when they effectively became a country being run by the Soviet Union. And all of them had a birthday, so we used those. And we ran the time tracks on these. And the time tracks actually look a lot like sheet music, with highs and lows and lots of notes and whatnot. And the busier the time track is, the more there's a large accumulation of notes. Essentially, the busier the period is going to be, and the more historical it's liable to be. So we started to run these things on presidential candidates and individuals, and we found out that in about eight times out of ten, so around 80% of the time, we were able to generate a picture of time that was going to be accurate going into the future in terms of telling you when things are going to change and how big they're going to be and how long they're going to last. And how frequently they're going to show up. And we've been basically using essentially the same system, untweaked, that we developed in 1989 and 90 ever since.
What would you say the accuracy of Merlin is, Paul?
It depends on what kind of numbers you plug into it. If you plug in one number, essentially, let's say you plug in a birthday.
Okay.
You're going to get a certain amount of information. If you add to that other dates that would be part of the confluence of that. So in other words, if you're looking at an individual, you might want to know if they got married and when they got married and what the birthday was of the person they got married to and when that all occurred and when they started their current job and so on. If you have a series of dates related to that individual that are accurate to the date in which it occurred, so the starting moment of each one of those events, the more of those that you plug into the system, the more accurate it becomes. And we found out over now almost 30 years of doing this that if you have what George calls triangulation, if you have, say, four or five, maybe six dates that are critical to that individual. Because you see, one of the things that we found out about dates is that it's what separates each of us out from everyone else. You're not going to have the same important dates in your life. Even someone born on the same day you were, they're not going to have the same important dates. So the more of those important dates that you have that represent starting moments in that person's life, the more accurate the time track becomes.
Okay. Now, back in March, you and George Hart were on the program with me. We talked about the major candidates. I want to do a quick review with you because I don't think you specifically said Bernie is going to get it. You just talked about his time track and that it was very popular, which he is. But let me go through it, and then you kind of steer us a little bit here. So you talked about there would be prominence and significant activity for Bernie between now and 2020, but I don't think you used the words he was going to get the nomination.
Well, you know, you kind of get pushed when you're doing this. We could easily have said, yeah, we think he's going to get the nomination. We also thought that Donald Trump was going to get the nomination, and that Hillary was going to be forced out of the picture for one reason or another. And for all intents and purposes, it virtually came down to that.
Right.
you know, the fact that we now know that that Bernie's campaign was sabotaged by the DNC certainly suggests that if everything had been done on the up and up, we might very well be seeing Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders in the final analysis.
That's okay. True.
Yes, and this is one of the things that listeners and clients, for that matter, don't understand. You can't know those things because those are not part of what
right. Time Jackson. Those are forces unknown to you.
Well, those are the immutable sort of things that come along that are not predictable. We only you know, tell people that this is only accurate about 8 times out of 10 at its best. Actually, the fact of the matter is it gets a little better than that if you throw enough dates at it, at the individual. But by and large, you know, 8 times out of 10 is way better than most medical, techniques are. And so consequently, eight times out of 10, if that's what your betting is, you can make a lot of money with 8 times out of 10. So what we don't say is that you can predict exact events. So we don't say, here's exactly what's going to happen. What we do say is we can probably eliminate those people who are not going to be in the final analysis as candidates in the case of presidential nominations. And we were right. We eliminated everybody except Hillary and Donald and Bernie, and who else was there?
That was about it. There weren't many left at that time.
With a cast of characters as large as there was, George figured out that at a minimum, we had one chance in 750 of coming up with those numbers.
Now, do you rerun the time tracks, or are they what they are?
So they are what they are.
So what you
what we can do is the more additional dates that are critical dates that represent starting events in someone's life. Say, for instance, they had a terrible car accident, or their parents did, when they were 5, and they lost both parents. That date is going to be very critical because, for all intents and purposes, their life started over again. And so if you factor in a date like that, you're going to get additional information. You're going to fine-tune predictions later in their life because of that. If you don't know that that happened, then you have no ability to add that in. But if you do have details of events in their life along the way, and you can isolate those down to the day in which they occurred, which is, I'll tell you something, when I get clients, especially from Coast, one of the hardest jobs is getting them to come up with a minimum of, let's say, half a dozen critical dates in their life that are accurate.
Yeah, that's not easy.
They don't know what it was.
No.
Their attitude is, well, you know, all those things happened and they're not important anymore. And they don't understand that the past is where you find the future.
Everybody gets the birth date, and after that, that's about it.
That's about it. And I have had people who scheduled an appointment go hunting up for dates that may have taken them 6 months to a year to track down.
Right.
Because they had to go to hospitals, they had to go to police departments, okay, to come up with the exact date that certain stuff happened. Because if I have the wrong date, it's gonna add in misinformation that's gonna make future forecasting less possible. So a missed date is worse than no date, because no date, at least I'm not going to be thrown off, okay? But if I have a wrong date, it may affect the end picture of things sufficiently that it will make the forecasting almost impossible.
So I'm looking at the time tracks that you gave us in March with Donald and Hillary.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I've got Bernie too. And, you know, Bernie doesn't stay huge, but he stays constant. So
That's right.
I could say he's going to be in the picture somewhere. Maybe he's going to be some ambassador or on the cabinet or who knows what, or still stays as a senator. But I'm confused with Donald and Hillary. Let me tell you why on this one. He has a burst in 2016 and 17. She doesn't. And all of a sudden then in 18 or so, she takes off like a rocket, and he goes down. Now I'm confused.
Well, what I thought was going to happen there was that Bernie was going to get the nomination, and he would have been fighting Trump, and Hillary would have gone on to something else, and the something else would have kicked in about a year, year and a half or so after the 2016 election.
I'm going to say, based on what I'm looking at, this is me now. This is not favoritism. This is just me reading the tracks. You got to qualify these things. I think Hillary's going to beat Trump, based on what I see.
Well, okay. I would agree that that's probably the way it's going to go. Although I'm not entirely convinced that on Election Day, they're the people who are going to be running.
Still, at this point, you can say that?
Well, I can say that because, for one thing...
Wow!
Well, hey, let me tell you why. And I'm not even sure that Bernie's completely out of the picture. Okay, now, you know, what we found with this stuff is you make a call, and then you say, no, that can't be. Okay, because I mean, look at Bernie a year ago at 3%. Okay, I mean,
I know, huge.
Who thought that this was going to happen?
Would somebody resign? Would one of the two major candidates resign?
Suppose, for instance, Hillary got sick, or was diagnosed with something, or had something happen to Bill. He's been looking terrible recently.
Yeah, he doesn't look good.
He started looking terrible about a year ago, and it's been looking worse. And I'm not sure what that's all about, but there's something going on there. He does not look like a healthy man. So let's presume for a minute that and 3 months, which is what it is, unusually so, 3 months is an eternity in politics.
And it's intense.
Absolutely. And let's assume, for instance, that something in the Clinton Global Initiative money pot turns out to be a problem.
All right.
Or that Hillary actually was in collusion with the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz
and getting Bernie squeezed
and trying to get Bernie, you know, to burn Bernie. Okay, and had to withdraw because of that. Okay, who are they then going to pick?
Who do they pick? How does that happen?
I would think they'd pick Bernie because Bernie got all of those votes.
Who would pick him?
Well, I don't know how. See. We've never had this happen.
No,
before.
This we haven't. We've had electoral changes in Congress, and we've had those things happen. But in this, I've never heard of a candidate.
One of the things about this race, and this is one of the things that people have to understand about what we're doing, to have come up with Bernie and Hillary and Trump out of that field was nothing short of remarkable. Okay, I mean, whoever thought that Jeb Bush with $200 million up front, would never get out of
right.
single digits.
He faded into the sunset.
Nobody. Okay, nobody thought that. Okay, whoever thought that Hillary would lose to Barack Obama in 2008, for instance. Okay, everybody had her picked as the anointed one. And then Barack Obama comes along, and not only that, he won two terms.
Yes.
Nobody thought he was going to
by pretty good margins, too. Stay with us, Paul. We're going to hit the break. We're going to come back. I want to hone you down a little bit more on your thoughts about this. John Hogue, our Nostradamus expert and our prophetic expert, he thinks that Hillary's going to win. He has said that for some time now that Jeb Bush is out of the picture. And welcome back with Paul Gercio of the Merlin Project. And Paul, before we get rolling again, you've got some cool apps available for people for iPhones and Androids.
I do. We do. And it's if somebody could have told me almost 30 years ago when George and I hooked up and we started playing around with this, because it really was a research project, a sideline that got out of hand, that we were going to be able to produce the effect of this on a phone that you could carry in your pocket, and you could run these things yourself, we would have both laughed.
Yes.
We said, no, no way. For one reason we wouldn't have wanted to do that is because you could have stolen the code. Okay, we would not have been. Storage was a big issue in those days.
There's more firepower, Paul, in these phones, these smartphones, than they had up there on the moon.
In fact, the Apollo 13. I remember them saying that you know, when they came back here alive and well, that the amount of computing power that was capable at accessing that was no more than what we have in our current digital watches.
Okay.
You know, the early computers were with 20 megabytes. This was earlier than that.
Yeah.
And they had to, every time they wanted to do a maneuvering, they had to plug those numbers back into the computer because it couldn't hold them. Okay, and today that's a joke. Okay, and we have the, you know, terabytes and all this other stuff. You know, now we can load. If we wanted to load in all of the time tracks from, let's say, 1900 to 2100, we could do it as a library. We could run four for each day over that entire 200 years, and never give away the code. Because all we're doing is creating library pages. And you'd get the same information because the time tracks are not being run in real time. They're just there as library pages. And you'd be able to pull up the one that you want for the particular day that you want and the time that you want and the time zone that you're in and all of those things. But there's enough storage today to do that. Back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, storage was a huge problem, and consequently, there would have been no way to do that. So today, what we're doing with this is we're making it available so that you can actually run these time tracks in your hand on the phone, and some people have that. I'm not sure whether you've actually downloaded this. We've had a few discussions about that now and then, but if you did, let's say, for instance, that you went to lunch with someone who had a business project that they wanted to run past you, and they're giving you quite a sales job on this, and at the end of the lunch, they leave, and you're sitting there mulling over this thing. If you pulled out the phone, and you plugged in the first date that you heard about it, if it wasn't that afternoon, and possibly the birthday of the person who gave you the presentation, you'd be able to see whether there's any point in getting involved in that. And you'd have one other advantage. You would know whether over the next, say, 7 to 10 years, that thing was going to actually bear fruit, and at what point it would, and at what point you might want to go back and review it or look into it again, even if they didn't know that. And you'd have the opportunity to know where along the timeline this thing had a chance of actually blossoming. Okay, that's what we're talking about with this. It's a capability. I mean, the people who have this thing on their phone love it. Now, there's people who are lazy and don't want to do a little learning of how you operate it, because it's not the most user-friendly thing ever available. But then, considering what it's doing, there's no reason to understand why that wouldn't be the case. Okay, but if you have one of these, and we're talking about something that for less than $30 a year, for a week's trial of 99 cents, you can get an idea of what this actually does, and you can go back into your history and see if it was able to capture events and dates that were important in your life that only you know about. So we, you know, people say, well, you're just this is a numbers generator. You guys are inventing this. Okay, well, if you know that something enormously important happened when you were 14, go back and look at when you were 14. It will either capture that or it won't. And what you'll find is about 7.5 to 8 times out of 10, you will easily see the points along the way where those large changes came along.
It's dramatic.
You wouldn't necessarily have known what they were going to be, but you would have known when in time they were going to happen, how big they were going to be, how long they were going to last, what kind of an effect they were going to have over the next several years, and you'd be the only person who'd know that.
Let's go back to the presidential election. Then you've got some other things for us, Paul. You always have secrets and surprises for us, don't you? So let's you and I make a prediction. Make yours, I'll make mine. But I think, based on what I see on the time tracks, merely that, I think Hillary is going to beat Donald Trump.
Well, I would be inclined to agree with you, but for a slightly different reason. Because Hillary, when you add in Tim Kaine,
that's right. And this hasn't. We don't have that in this one. This is from March.
You don't have it yet on the available to the to your listeners. But it's available, and we've run it, and George hasn't added it. By the way, those of you who have smartphones of any kind, you can go to Instagram. The access code is TimeTracks, TimeTracks, and you can look at these time tracks on Instagram.
Perfect.
You can see what we were looking at. In terms of this presidential election, Tim Kaine does nothing for Hillary. He doesn't help her at all. Whereas,
and doesn't hurt her.
Actually, he does.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
All right. By not helping her, I guess.
No, it's not an advantage. Mike Pence, on the other hand, gives an assist to Donald Trump. But what I went and did was looked at Paul Ryan's run. And on Instagram, you can see it. If the Republicans were going to win this year, you'd see some real activity on Paul Ryan's run. It's not there.
It's not there.
Okay. So. And not only isn't it there this year, it isn't there in 2020 either. So you'd have to wonder, not only does it look like the Democrats would win in 2016, but maybe again in 2020. And maybe as a result of what we're seeing with Donald Trump, George said to make sure and mention the fact that if any presidential candidate was capable of shooting himself in the foot, we've got him.
That's him. That's him. What a weekend he's had. Have you run Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, yet?
I have, and Bill Weld. And there's nothing much going on.
Nothing
there.
And
not much going on Jill Stein's run either.
Okay.
So we're stuck with the people, okay? And, of course, for the first time in presidential history, we have the two people of the lowest approval ratings of anybody's ever run for president. I mean, they're both around 60%. Okay, this is literally unbelievable.
Well, see, Trump is hurting himself. I mean, if the guy would just be quiet, stop bullying, stop saying stupid things, like, you don't go and attack the parents of a dead hero, as far as I'm concerned. Just let him say his thing. Let him, you know, hold up the Constitution and say what he wants to say about it. Don't go toe-to-toe with him. It makes you look bad. And look what's happened.
You know, the people who are the centrist Republicans, the long-term Republican stalwarts, okay, have got to be...
Oh, my God.
Got to be looking in the mirror and going, I cannot believe this is actually going on. He's fighting with a gold star family.
Well, he's giving it away.
And the thing is, the people, the diehard Trump supporters are ignoring all of this.
You know, Paul, when I watch my Detroit...
They only make up about 35-38% of the Republican, hierarchy, and consequently, they aren't enough. There aren't enough white people, basically, to get this guy the presidency. And he's alienating everybody else.
Constantly. When I watch my Detroit Lions play every once in a while, my football team, right?
Right.
They're up by 2 points. There's about a minute to go, and the opponents have the ball.
Right.
And they start marching down the field. And I just know the Lions are going to lose it. They're going to give it away. Okay. The guy's going to kick a field goal, and we lose. And it happens. Donald Trump is like the Detroit Lions. He had it in his hands. I think he had victory, but I think he's giving it away.
Well, I don't think Donald ever intended to really play this all out. I think he got involved because he thought it might be fun, but he never expected to get the kind of adulation he's been getting.
Yeah, he didn't expect the nomination, did he?
Well, no, I don't think he did.
Initially?
No, and not initially, and not for quite a while over the course of the campaign. But then it kind of got to him, and he's got enough of an ego. Now, I grew up in New York. He is the same month and a few days away from George Hart.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, we're all the same year. I've been watching Donald Trump forever. Okay. And he's always been a story. There's always been something amusing going on around the Donald. Okay. Always. Okay, it's like the current pictures of Melania and the nude pictures that are on the Daily News. I mean, whoever imagined that would be going on? And that's just a sideshow in comparison to all this other stuff, like the gold star parents. Okay, but Donald he's getting off on all of this, and the Republican. The stalwart Republicans, the John McCains and the Paul Ryans and so on, they've got to be going slowly crazy. Now the thing is, there are enough supporters in that 38 percentile or 40 percentile or something like that to show some real serious numbers He continues to, you know, to show polling numbers that are showing him, you know, being competitive. But this can't continue because one of the things that we said on your show, and I think this is very true, people kept saying they can't understand how this Trump thing is going on. This guy had a top-rated, primetime, Emmy-winning TV show that was largely ad-libbed for 14 years.
Yes.
Okay. He had the best name recognition of all time. Okay. And that's how he got where he got, because none of these other politicians knew how to do that.
No. Nope. Okay?
He knew how to do it because he had been doing it. Okay. But you can't continue doing that. You get to a point where you have to really know something, and he knows nothing.
So back to Hillary for a second. Let me ask you this. With all the scandals surrounding her, but not getting close enough to get her, then Benghazi, the emails, all this other stuff, the Democratic get over, you know, go get Bernie routine. I mean, with all these things like around her and close to her, how come she still succeeds?
Because the Clintons have got the game down. They're the ultimate game players. I was telling somebody the other day the Vince Foster story. Here's a guy who couldn't have been closer to them than he was, who showed up dead in Rock Creek Park, where he had to walk a half a mile through leaves and everything, and he had nothing on his shoes, and he was left-handed, and he shot right-handed.
Suicide, right?
Yeah. Supposedly. Now, the thing is, did the Clintons actually do that? Probably not. Okay, but there's so many of those. I'm one of those people that believes, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay, there's something going on there. And there's been something going on there for Hillary and Bill as far back as you go. Okay, there's been something going on. They are, however, the ultimate survivors. And the Democrats had nobody to put forward this year except Hillary. And the Republicans were a mess when it came to finding anybody to actually go up against him. And so we end up with Hillary and Donald. And George said, there isn't a chance in hell that we're going to see Donald in the White House. I'm not so sure. Okay, I think it's going to be a lot closer. But I agree with you. If you look at Paul Ryan's run and you figure he's got to show activity going on, significant activity going on as Speaker of the House, there's nothing going on there. And so consequently, I would have to agree that you're right, that Hillary's going to win. But I don't think any of this is over yet. I think there's a couple of hiccups left to go.
See, I find that to be fascinating.
And I'm not sure that I can tell you what they are, but it could be Hillary could be, you know, coming down with MS, or Bill could.
But you think something big could happen?
Yes, I do.
And not to be surprised if it does.
That's right.
Could it be a terrorist attack that screws up things?
Well, when you say screws up things,
like delays the election?
Possibly, but more likely affecting the election in terms of who gets elected.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be at all surprised that was in their best pocket. That's the kind of thing. I mean, we're seeing this go on every day practically, and you know, luckily there haven't been all that many domestic events, but enough and enough people dying. You know, and while it's not true that crime is up and the country's falling apart, it's not true. Okay, crime was way down. Okay, down by 30-40% from what it was even at the beginning of Obama's.
But people, Paul, I got to tell you, people have short memories. And you know, Donald Trump, the Republicans had their convention. He had his pop. His numbers went up as everybody predicted. And I predicted, I said, Hillary's going to come right back because of the Democratic convention. Watch. And now she's up by a handful of points. I mean, people just don't have long-term memory when it comes to things. I think this is going to be one of those elections that goes right to November 8th. And like you said, anything could happen.
Well, there's also something else. And this is something I've been telling people in politics that I know for years. And that is nobody who matters, who hasn't already made up their mind, pays any attention until the end of September. The end of September, maybe the middle of September, so when you got about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks left, that's when people start paying attention. So all the money and all the TV time and all of this nonsense that's going on doesn't add up to a row of beans, because this isn't affecting the core people that are going to be swayed by something at the end of the whole race.
We're coming back, Paul Gercio, to take phone calls with you and talk about a few other time tracks on some other things next.